WATB Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Good morning, Bride. Good morning. Today we're going to study because our idol is abortion today. So today we're going to study the word about children. And we're going to learn, what does God see about children? And then why would the enemy want to take children out? We're going to discuss that this morning. Our God is amazing, Bride. He is amazing. Let me turn this over to Exodus chapter 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. All right, let's go over here to Exodus chapter 1. Now remember, today we're studying, well, we're repenting on the idol of abortion. So today I want to talk to you about it. I want to talk to you about life. And why does the enemy want to destroy children? All right, well, let's go ahead and pray and get started, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to come before you today, Lord, praying on behalf of our country and the church, Lord. It is such an honor. And Lord, we pray today about this subject of abortion, this idol of abortion and children. Lord, we just pray that your will would have its way. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us into all the truth today. And Lord, let your word speak to the nation today, Lord. You are exalted, O God. You're the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we give you place in our nation and in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Bride, let me get my little man set up over here. Remember, I use the YouVersion app. Let's see. Good morning, Katrina. Good morning, Jean. Y'all are on early. All right, now. Today, when I was asking the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to teach on today about abortion? He brought it up about these groups, these men that went after the children. So, today we're going to talk about that, Bride, and we're going to examine them. But I want to go ahead and get this started and lay out a few scriptures that talk about life. And what does life mean to God? What does it mean when a woman gets pregnant? I know in our nation they've tried to use the point that, you know, it's not really a baby until it's born, until it comes out and breathes. But you know what, bride? God says different. The Lord says different. You know, He creates every person before time began. And He maps out a plan for them before time began. And He wrote a book about every one of their lives. And He said, you know, if Johnny Joe would give his life to me, I'm going to turn it around and I'm going to make the most beautiful story out of that boy if he will just surrender to me. But see, the whole battle on earth is identity. That is why in our nation it has come so hard that it wants to take the identity from people. Transgender, cross-dressers, changing your gender, homosexuality, sodomy. I mean, all these things is an attack on identity. Why? Because when you learn your identity in Christ and you learn what that book says that you can be, then you will begin to change the world and you will mess up Satan. You will ruin his plans. So he wants to block you and distort your view of who you are. And so if he can take you out in the womb before you even arrive in the planet physically, when you come out of the canal, if he can destroy you then he's destroyed that destiny of that person. He has destroyed that book that was written for that person. Every person on planet Earth has a destiny and a calling of God. But it's up to them on whether they accept it or not. Okay? And so anyways, let's go over here. I'm going to read you a few scriptures. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Well, that goes back to what I said. Before he formed us, he knew us. He designed us, and he wrote in that book and said, I want them to be like this. You know how I found out about that book, bride? I found out about it whenever I was writing my book about destiny, basically, that organic Christianity, back to the garden. When I was writing that book is when the Lord revealed to me that everyone had a book. Okay, so before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Psalm 139:13-16. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Genesis 1:27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female created he them. Okay, so let's go ahead and examine Exodus. Let me do my little man here. Now, this is the story of the children of Israel when Pharaoh wanted to kill the children. Okay, let's examine that. Okay, let's go over to Exodus 1. All right, let's start from the top here.
The book of Exodus, chapter 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Issachar, Zebulun,
laying the foundation here.
Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. But Joseph was in Egypt.
Hey, pause that. I just caught on to something, bride. Does that not remind you of Jesus? Remember when Jesus had the 70? Ha! That is pretty cool.
And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass, that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies, and fight against us.
Mm.
And so get them up out of the land.
Jealous.
Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens.
Slavery.
And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live.
Okay, first of all, Brad, why is the Pharaoh telling these midwives you need to kill these children? Because they're jealous of them. They're jealous because they're multiplying and they have a fear of what they're going to do in this kingdom. Well, what does that sound like today, Brad? The devil is scared of godly children. He is scared of us multiplying. And look what is happening in our country. We have two children, that's it. The Christians only have two children, but the Muslims are having 10. So they're multiplying greatly. You see what I mean? And then we turn around and we kill our kids. The devil convinces us to commit abortion to kill our kids, see? Let's keep going here.
But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them. But saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives.
Isn't that something?
Why have ye done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, but they are lively, and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied, and waxed very mighty.
All right, pause. What happened right here? The midwives refused to obey Pharaoh. They refused to bow to the king. They refused to kill these babies. And it says right here how God felt about it. And therefore, God dealt well with them. He was happy because they stood up for righteousness. Let's keep going. Let's see what God does to these midwives. Pretty interesting.
It came to pass because the midwives feared God that he made them houses.
Come on.
And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive.
Isn't that something? Okay, so God turned around and blessed the midwives for standing up for righteousness, standing up for what is right, and not killing these little boys. So God gave them all houses. Isn't that something? And then Pharaoh just found another way to do it. He said, okay, well then just throw all of them in the river. All of the males. So you can read more about it in Exodus 2. But basically Pharaoh does. He turns around and kills and slaughters all of the kids, the boys, in the river. But Bride, do you know what ended up happening in this story? In this story, it turns around that God comes and he kills all theirs, all of the enemy's sons, the firstborn. And he sends an angel to do it. And how terrible, terrible that was. You know? So, I submit to you that based on this, so far in Exodus, that they are wanting to kill the children to stop their destiny. You know, the prophecy had been told that somebody's going to rise up and save. Well, look what happens over in the New Testament. Let's talk about when Jesus was born. Let's go over here to Matthew chapter 2. Do y'all remember that story when Jesus was born? They wanted to get rid of that Savior. All right, Matthew chapter 2. So let me get this and move over to Matthew 2. That loud noise y'all hear is my heater. Okay, here we go. Matthew 2.
Matthew 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also."
Lying, lying.
When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy.
Aww.
And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him.
Aww.
And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
Oh, I just noticed that, bride. Is that not awesome? God came to them in a dream and said, "Don't you dare go back to Herod." Those wise men, remember, Herod sent them to spy out the land, to find out where Jesus was so he could come worship him too. Baloney! He wanted to kill Jesus. He's threatened because of the prophecy that another king is going to rise up, so he is out to kill. All right, but God warned them, and listen.
And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him."
Okay, I want to pause right there, bride. I want to give y'all a little word here. When I was on the road last year with the Mega Revival Tour, I had already been probably, 25 states or whatever. And the Lord told me when I got to Columbus, Ohio, he said, "When you do the Northeast region up here, the last leg of the tour, I want you to let me lead you by the day. I don't want you to plan anything." That is what happened right here, bride. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and told him what to do to get up and leave, that they was coming to kill Jesus, that's what's going to happen to us very, very soon in these last days. What I mean by that is they're going to shut us off of social media. They're going to shut us off the internet with this net neutrality deal. I'm talking about the true remnant, not the whole people. They're going to let the ones that are not offending people or not preaching truth out there, the seeker-friendly ones, they're going to still be able to stay. But the ones that are preaching truth, the truth bearers, basically, they're going to shut them off. Okay, so these people are going to be led like this. I'm telling you. The Lord gave me a prelude of that when I was in Columbus, Ohio. And listen, he led me every day by dreams. And he would tell me, "Okay, I want you to go to this city. When you get to this city, I want you to do this." And I would obey him every day. And one time I was in Rhode Island. And the Lord told me, okay, I want you to go to New York City, but I want you to, you know, do this and do that. Well, I got delayed because the pastor that I was with delayed me for a day or two. Do you know the Lord did not give me another dream until I made it to my next destination? It's like, okay, once you finish this step, then I'll give you the next step. I'm telling you, bride, this is the hour we're coming to. We need to have our ears attuned to heaven. We need to hear what God is saying, because we're not going to be able to communicate the way that we've always known. I mean, what if they shut off the grid? What if the lights go out? What if, say there's a big earthquake and then we don't have lights for like 5 months because it's so tragic? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, we cannot depend on technology. I'm just telling you this by the Spirit right now. We cannot depend on technology, okay? We have got to depend upon the Holy Spirit. So when I saw that, I just felt led to tell you that how God spoke to Joseph in the Bible is how he's going to speak to you in the end. We have to follow the Lord and trust him. He knows what he's doing. Okay, so let's continue.
When he rose, he took the young child and his mother by night.
He obeyed.
And departed into Egypt. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. And Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth, and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem,
oh,
and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men.
Wow.
Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children,
oh,
and would not be comforted because they are not.
Bride, this is another word I need to give you. Check out what just happened right here. Remember, I've been teaching you in these Bible studies that you have to obey the Lord no matter what circumstances are taking place in your life or what's happening in the world. Okay, God told Joseph, right? He told Joseph, you've got to protect Jesus and get him out because they're coming to kill him. Look what happened, bride. This is what is about to happen in our country, in America. These people, there was a great slaughter because the king was so mad that the people did not obey him and did not kill Jesus, that he just went and slaughtered a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of babies. But did that cause Joseph to get off his mission? Did it cause him to not obey the Lord because he sees all this suffering around him? No. Bride, I'm telling you, this is going to be us. The Lord is preparing the way. We have to not look to the right or the left. We have to obey the Lord, because the dogs are going to be dogs. The whoremongers are going to be whoremongers. The murderers are going to be murderers. They're going to do what they're going to do, is my point. But obeying God is the most important thing. And when you look at the mass of this, when you look at the chaos, it looks like what Joseph is doing with Jesus is a trivial thing. He gets to ride on a donkey and gets to ride through the land with a little baby and not have any suffering. And he gets to be prosperous because he's blessed of God. And he gets to just go to this city and be safe. But yet I'm over here and my son gets slaughtered because of your son. See what I mean? This is where we're headed, bride. We have to obey the Lord, even if everything else around you is collapsing. All right, let's keep going.
But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel. For they are dead which sought the young child's life.
Okay, another command. Another command by God. We've got to be led by God. Amen.
And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee.
Oh, Lord.
And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene.
Okay, so what have we learned so far in this Bible study this morning? We have learned a lot, actually. We have learned about the destiny. God has each of us a destiny. He has a purpose. Like he says in Genesis 1:27, we are created in his image. And then look at Isaiah 49:1. Listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named me. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Luke 1:43 through 44. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Remember John the Baptist when he met Jesus in the womb? That's a pretty cool story. Okay, Job 10, 8 through 12. Your hands fashioned and made me altogether, and would you destroy me? Remember now that you have made me as clay. And would you turn me into dust again? Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like trees? Like cheese? Okay, Psalm 139, 16. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Bride, I want to talk to you about something. Did you know that in heaven there's a lot of books? There is a lot of books. God loves books. That's why I encourage you to go back to reading the written word. That's written, that is formed by a tree. The written word. I know we're tempted to all go to technology, but this is going to fade away. This will not. In heaven, you have the book of life. Okay, what's the book of life? The book of life is, it's a book containing the names of God's people. When you stand before the judgment day, that angel's going to look in this book and say, let's see if June Knight is in here. And he scrolls down and he says, there you are. Welcome into heaven. Your name is going to be written in the Lamb's book of life. Okay? If your name is not written there, then you have to go to hell. Well, what can you do to not have your name written there? Well, you have to reject God. You have to be full of pride and reject the Lord and not, seek his face and receive him in your heart and want to live for him. Because the Bible says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. What? You mean we still have to go by the Ten Commandments? Yes. Yes, we do. Because when you love someone, you want to please them. And you want to do what you know makes them happy. Amen. Okay. Let's go to Psalm 127, 3. All right. Let's go over here. Psalm. It's back here. Let's go to Psalm. Right here. 127. The book of Psalm is so amazing, isn't it, Bride? Alright, let's go to Psalm 127 and 108, 119. Okay, 139. Some of these are really short. Okay, Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Oh, isn't that beautiful, Bride? And look at verse 5 here. Well, let's read the whole chapter. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that builds it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of youth, of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Isn't that something? He's saying, blessed are those that have a lot of children. All right, let's see here. Proverbs 6:16-17, when we talk about abortion, I know that there's probably women, you know, that's watching this broadcast that have done this before, and I'm not putting any condemnation on you today, okay? The Lord knows, and we just repent of it and ask the Lord to heal us and to heal our womb from it. But those, like the doctors that participate in this, they will answer to the Lord for what they have done. And it says here in Proverbs 6:16-17, there are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven, which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. So, Lord, we pray that these men and women that are these doctors doing this, Lord, that their eyes would be open and that they would stop shedding innocent blood, Lord, that they would quit being murderers, and that they would not want to participate in that sin in our nation, Lord, that brings a reproach to you. Heal those people so they can stand up for truth and stand up for righteousness and say that they refuse to participate in this horrible sin, Lord. And that they would want to be set free and ask you to forgive them, Lord. And Lord, I pray for all the women that are watching this broadcast that may have committed an abortion, Lord. I pray that right now, Lord, that their heart is breaking, and I pray that you heal their heart. Lord, I pray that you restore to them everything the devil has stolen, Lord. Restore to their heart. And Lord, I pray that you heal them, and that you let them know, Lord, that that baby is with you, and that one day they'll see that baby. And even the ones, Lord, that have miscarriages, that lost children through miscarriage, Lord, they will see them. They'll actually get to meet them when they come to heaven. So, Lord, I pray that those ladies that are watching this broadcast right now, that they will forgive their self. Lord, that you will help them to forgive their own self, and that they would let that burden go off their back, and that you would deliver them from this, Lord, so that they can move forward. There's some of you, I feel like, that you just feel stuck because the grieving in your heart is so bad over what you have done. So I pray that today that you release that to the Lord. And if you don't know how, we'll just say it together, okay? Just repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I confess what I've done, Lord. And I confess that I took an innocent life. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me. And Lord, I break that soul tie that I made with that doctor when we shed innocent blood together. Lord, I cut that tie in Jesus' name. I forgive myself for doing this to my body and to my child. I forgive the doctor and all the nurses that were involved in this act. I forgive any person who may have forced me to do this or pressured me to do this. I forgive everyone involved. And Lord, I lay this situation down to you. I lay my baby down to you, Lord. And I ask that you hold that baby until I come to them again. I'm just going to cry, but until I get to see them in the future, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, to restore to me everything that the devil has stolen. I speak over my house that it shall be a house of joy. I plead the blood of Jesus over my womb, over my home, over my family. And I pray that the generational curse will stop here, that this will not be released to my children. This sin that I have brought upon my family, that it will not pass since I have renounced it and repented. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now listen, if any of you need me to pray for you, I can do it in a couple of hours. I'm about to go into a meeting with my team where we're going to address this. And I just want to say this to all the people watching these broadcasts. If some of these idols, if they hit close to home and you see these tweets that I put out there when we're repenting and we're talking about the sin that we have done concerning this idol, please don't take it personal. What I mean by that is, okay, we are praying for the nation as a whole. We're not having any specific person in thought, okay? This is the Church of the United States. This is the people within the United States, our own peoples that have done this and that have transgressed the Lord. So this team of 20 people, when we go before the Lord, we take the sins of our own people upon ourselves. We're not there in the throne room to blame anyone else but ourselves. And I'm telling you, that's what we tell the Lord. Lord, we take this upon ourselves, our people. Because look, bride, we're Americans. And when we do something wrong, we've got to admit we've done it wrong. That's like, say, a father of a family. If somebody come to their house and say, your son did this, and he'll say, no, my family. Because it's charged to the house. You know, like, he takes responsibility for what his son did because he's under his care. You see what I mean? That's how we are to God with the church. We're going to God, repenting on behalf of her that has done all these things to him over the years. And our land that he made a covenant with, that he has a great destiny for, that he has a plan for. You know, the Lord gave me a understanding of cities. And he did that before I traveled. And it was amazing how he would have me, listen, when he would have me prophesy over certain cities, he had me do that over 6 cities across the country. And he told me, he said, when you prophesy over these cities, I want you to take your feet, your shoes off your feet, and plant your natural feet upon the dirt of that land, and I want you to speak it out of your mouth and prophesy what I tell you to prophesy. The dirt of the United States of America is what we're talking about. We're all Americans, okay? So we're taking what everybody has done and we're bringing before the Lord on behalf of the dirt, on behalf of our country and what we have done. And if y'all think this sounds weird, go back and read the Old Testament and see how God did. Those people that were prophets back in those days, God would have them do things representing their whole entire country. Look at Hosea and Gomer. God made that prophet marry a whore and put up with her cheating around and the grossness of it to give a visual representation of the vomit taking place in that country, the sin taking place in the children of Israel. He had one prophet, I can't remember his name, but he had to eat dung. He had to lay on his side for like 100 days or whatever it was. You know what I mean? It was just, they have to do things to represent their countries. And that is what we are doing. When we're standing before the throne and we're praying over these idols, this is America. We're standing there as her, as the church in America. Because we're not blaming the world. We have done this to ourselves. We are blaming our own self. And we are standing before God saying, okay, Lord, you know, yes, we don't have big ministries. And yes, we're very small if you measure it by the way the world does, you know, by popularity or whatever. But Lord, we're Americans. We're your people. We're your sons and daughters. And Lord, we see what's happened. And we're going to stand before you. And we're going to admit it. And we're going to take it upon ourselves. And we're going to bring it before the throne. And we're going to wrap it up like this. And say, this is abortion. This is what we're dealing with today. This is abortion. Lord, we did this before your nostrils. All these children. And we're just bringing it before him. We're real and we're addressing it. So when I tweet out, I'm tweeting out the meat that is coming from these prayer meetings. And when I do, don't take offense to it. Because this is us before God. And I'm just wanting the world to hear what is being addressed and what is coming out of all the people involved. God is using every one of them. We're like one big cohesive unit. And everyone has something precious that God is revealing through them that needs to be said. And when we're doing it, Bride, we are weeping before the throne about these things. Now, what God's going to do with this, we don't know, you know, fully. We know a little bit, but we don't know fully. But at least we're addressing and we're getting real with God about our nation. And so I just wanted to explain that just to make sure you're not offended. Okay, Brian? All right. Well, I guess that's the end of this broadcast today. I pray that you understood through this Bible study that God has a destiny for every one of us, every soul that enters this earth. And he has a purpose for that soul. And like I said about pastors, one of the greatest injustices about pastors is when they have these people sit in their church 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years and never do a thing. They never understand their destiny. They never understand the purpose to why they're called. And they sit there and they just don't ever change. They just sit there doing the same thing year after year. When God's book actually says, hey, I wanted you to be a missionary to China. I wanted you to be to invent the thing to cure cancer. I want you to go over here and preach to this neighbor and this neighbor to keep them from going to hell. But instead, some churches, now I'm not saying this to all, but these pastors will tell these people, you're to be loyal to me. You're to stay here. This is your job for the rest of your life is to serve me. And then you just sit there because you're not good enough to get out here and do anything or serve. So I want you to sit here and just feed off me and let me feed. All I just want you for is your money and you just sit in the pew for a number. And this is what we're repenting to God for, Bride. Because God has a destiny for this purpose. Person that's just being sitting there dormant. Okay? All right, so I love you, Bride. God bless you, and I pray that y'all have a good day today.